Blog Talk Radio.
This is the story of a young black girl trying to talk to cemetery in the overpacked girl. Why, oh, oh, oh. Why, oh, oh, oh. This is...
Welcome to the premiere edition of The Vouch System, where we will be featuring a guest speaker each week. Mr. Pratt.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you hear they live with us today?
Hey, I'm ready to rock and roll, bro.
I see you, man. We have a little bit of technical difficulties on the show here, but welcome to the premiere edition of The Vouch System, brought to you by Pinnacle One. Our show is geared at reaching towards some of the young youth of today and connecting them with the young executives who are kind of giving back to the community already, people that who are being motivational, people that are giving of themselves. And we're featuring you today. Mr. Pratt is the Miami Heat Community Affairs Coordinator, as well as serving on the FAU Foundation. And Mr. Pratt has recently also released a new book of his own, which is entitled Jewels of the Game. Ansel Pratt III, thank you for appearing on the show today. Can you tell us a bit about your background, like growing up and where you're from?
Sure, not a problem. Well, thanks once again, first and foremost, for having me here. Well, my name is Ansel Pratt III. I'm actually the Community Affairs Coordinator for the Miami Heat, also the principal of AP3 Enterprises, LLC. Well, background, I'm a native South Floridian, born in South Florida. I tell people, it sounds kind of cliches, but truth be told, yeah, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, if you will, where I had very humble beginnings. But one of the greatest decisions, or probably the single greatest decision I ever made in my entire life at a young age, was to never let anyone define me or my capabilities. So matriculated through the school system in South Florida, attended Florida Atlantic University and Boca Raton, Florida, got a double degree in marketing and management, took on multiple internships till I landed my job at the Miami Heat, where now I coordinate all the major community events for the Miami Heat team. So whenever you see a Heat player giving out Thanksgiving turkey baskets, toys to kids in the hospital, running a high school mentoring program, that's what me and my department do.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Now, you said that you're from South Florida, you grew up from a tough neighborhood. Can you tell us exactly what kind of neighborhood that was and why it was tough?
Well, I was born in Miami, but raised in the Fort Lauderdale in the Dillard, West Kinlark, Eastgate. Yeah, I mean, I actually moved around a couple of different times to different economically challenged communities, so to speak. Well, let's keep it real. I came from the hood. But, even though no matter where I came from, my sights were set higher than what my circumstances, my situation was. So even though I didn't grow up wearing a name brand or anything of that nature, I knew I had this motivation and destiny. I had this motivation for success, and really in part because I had a lot of people, unfortunately, and I think a lot of the youth that I speak to today, unfortunately, we have a lot of negativity of people telling them what they can't do, which is the reason why, in my book, Jewels of the Game, the first thing I wanted to establish to the readers is my personality. And my personality is something that's deep to my core is that I'm not going to let anyone define me or my capabilities, nor should I. And that's something I encourage a lot of the youth to adopt that same mentality, because no one defines you but yourself.
Right, right. Well, speaking of your capabilities and so forth, what were the expectations for Ansel Pratt III from his family and his peers growing up?
it was interesting, Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to say make it seem like I lived, in the complete slums and everyone was, against me. But then again, I did have my fair share, and, even growing up as a kid, definitely one too many people who seen me as gave negative feedback, then the community, people just didn't pick you. From being harassed by the police officers just because you're a young inner-city youth, I was always an honor roll student. But, I had island parents. So, unfortunately, in middle school, they told me, if you get your butt whooped in the street, you come home, you're getting another one. And the neighborhood I lived in, they was going to try you. So the thing was is that I had to get my weight up pretty early to be able to kind of hold my own, but that was definitely one of the last resorts. But because of that, I wasn't just willing to back down for no one. It seemed like I kind of got lumped in with everyone else. Even though I was an honor roll student, because my parents didn't play that growing up, it seemed as if, you know, I just kind of got lumped in and categorized. And that negative feedback a lot of time, it can have a strong effect on a lot of youth. But I just used it personally to feel my motivation to prove everyone wrong. And I got to say, a good portion of my high school and in college career was like, you know, I'm striving for my goal, but also it's to prove everyone wrong, and I will be somebody.
Right. Well, I guess to spin off on that, what kind of activities were you involved in kind of growing up that maybe you think kept you on the right path?
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. I always tell people my story. Here's how my story was. You know, when I speak to a lot of youth, I ask, is any youth in the audience, any youth athletes, and I tell them how I played, you know, high school football, wrestled, was on the JROTC program, yearbook staff, you know, was prom king. So I kind of had a little swag in high school. But my freshman year, you know, I tell people, when trying out for the football team, I earned a title that a lot of people probably may know as scrub or bench warmer.
Football player from the show there, right? Water boy.
Yes, well, was that?
I was just gonna say that
I was not blessed with athletic ability, to so to speak. You know, I barely made the team my freshman year, and I had a lot of people, including, you know, my father, unfortunately said that, you know, I thought I was too small, too uncoordinated to play football, and I just need to give up. And that's when I determined that the single greatest decision I can ever make was to never let anyone define me or my capability. So, you know, shortly after that freshman year football season, I became a beast in a weight room. You know, I would get up in the morning at like 5 o'clock in the morning to work out before I go to school. When the lunch bell rang, I was the first one sprinting to the cafeteria to eat my lunch, and then be the first one to eat my lunch, and then go and spend the rest of the lunch hour out there on the football field, running up and down the bleachers, practicing my backpedaling in form. You know, it's funny. My teammates used to clown me and call me Rudy, based off that early 1990s movie about a young guy who wanted to play for Notre Dame. But I tell people, needless to say, the following season, not only did I make the team, not only did I become the starting safety in my high school, but I also set the record for interceptions caught in a single year. So I always tell people. Yeah,
I knew that you were a star football player, I guess, in high school, just because, you know, we happen to know each other and went to the same college at FAU. But what kind of impact did – I know you had an incident happen in high school, an injury that happened in high school to your football career. What kind of impact did that have on you?
Well, going into my senior year, you know, like I said, I was – a good thing I was very, very serious about my academics. So I had like a 3.2 GPA in high school. I was a high school athlete. Senior year, I was on a varsity football team, wrestling team, captain and company commander, my JROTC program, on the yearbook staff. I was a beast in the weight room. I was 5'8", 160, bench pressing 275. You know, I was one of the stronger students, definitely for my size in high school. You know, my goal was before I graduated, I wanted to, like, bench press 300 pounds. Just kind of give you a little frame of, you know, how cocky, so to speak, I was. And then all in one night, everything was taken away. On October 11, 1996, during the district high school football game, I was rammed on the side of the head, hyperextending my spine, ripping my C5 and C6 nerve from my spine, and tearing my chest muscle completely off of my collarbone. I know a lot of people may have experiences where you fall asleep on your arm and you wake up and you can't move it for about maybe 10 seconds or so. Well, I had to go like the next 18 months of my life like that until I had nerve reconstructive surgery. So, you know, this is a young man, 17 years old. I had to spend the rest of my senior year in a neck brace and a sling. Doctors came in and told me good news and bad news. Bad news, you may never, ever be able to move your right arm ever again. Good news, I'm supposed to be paralyzed from the neck down. So I had to count my blessing many, many times over. And even already I wasn't picked to, you know, in middle school you know, graduate or go to college. You know how it is. People always stereotype people from out of the inner city. But I always stayed true to my form and said that the single greatest decision I can ever make was to never let anyone define me or my capabilities. So graduated high school on time, went off to college, and still got my mojo going.
Well, well done, man. I know you still got your mojo going, and I know what kind of, you know, you were in the classroom and on, you know, community service in college as well. What were some of your role models, like, throughout high school and going into college that you looked up to?
You know, funny thing, I got to say, I had a, you know, uncle who was a businessman. He was an up-and-coming businessman, now a self-made millionaire, you know, through real estate and owning the Bell Bond Company and a couple other business ventures. And just looking up to him was a great motivation. I'd be remiss to say that I watched a little bit of TV back then, and looking up to people like Kadeem Hardison from The Different World, the Dwayne Wayne character, you know, and that kind of, you know, watching A Different World was like one of my first glimpses into, you know, a college, you know, into college life, because when I was from, you know, I guess it wasn't really talked about that much. But when I started getting to high school, I started taking notice. You know, so things of that nature, well, I may see attributes about a teacher that, you know, I kind of like, you know, I just like how this person deals with people. You know, I mean, like this, you know, this teacher swagger over here. So one of the things I always tell you is that you may, similar to me, you may not find someone that has the complete total package of everything that you're looking for, but you can probably learn different qualities from different people throughout life and some women, teachers and adults that kind of, you know, I picked up on different attributes about themselves that helped me become the man that I am today.
I see. So was there, I know you mentioned Different World and so forth. Was there one person in specifically in Ansel's life that kind of helped mold them and gave them their vision and their path in life?
Well, I mean, you got family, you know, you got family and you got your immediate circle, whether, you know, positive or negative, you receive different influences in your life to help shape who you are. But I probably would say the single, you know, male figure, you know, since we're talking about youth, region one, the single male figure in my life that probably had one of the greatest, you know, influences in regards to me looking at this person and wanting to emulate. I would probably say it's my uncle, the gentleman who is the business owner, a gentleman named Darrell Allen, who, like I said, he became very successful through different business ventures. Someone who never went to college, you know, he was military, you know, went into the military and came out, and he just, you know, saw business in a common sense way. He kept asking tons of questions. He grew, and, you know, in 20, 25 years, he built up a nice little empire.
I see. So there were, I guess, as a child, you had some vision or some clarity on some opportunities that were available to you outside of what traditionally are fed to the young youth of today and things of that nature.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm actually a part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters mentoring program right now. You know, unfortunately, I wasn't blessed to have that one-to-one mentoring opportunity. So I, as a youth, me wanting to learn and kind of grow and, you know, be shown my manhood, I just had to pick up on different nuggets that I've seen in different places. And, you know, a good portion of that didn't come, I want to say I saw a Dwayne Wayne character on TV because that was, you know, some of the positive images of urban, you know, urban youth or urban professionals.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in my circle growing up, you know, there's a teacher or two here or there that I got a chance to pick up from. And then I got to say, going into college, I became part of an internship program, INROADS, which was an internship organization geared towards placing talented minorities into Fortune 500 corporate job settings. And then from there, there were a couple of the men who were the leadership and running that nonprofit organization that I got an opportunity to learn a whole lot from. And you know, it was a great experience.
Right. Well, now you mentioned INROADS, which is one of the service organizations that's geared at minorities. I guess what were some of the early community service initiatives that you took upon yourself?
Are you referring to high school or college? Because a good portion, you know, in high school, I was, you know, focused on my education, my academics. I helped out different peers, you know, on the football team with, you know, with homework assignment because I was, you know, I wasn't just a typical jock. Yeah, I actually had my academics were, my test scores were a little bit higher than the average, so to speak. But it really wasn't until I got into college that that's where a lot of the philanthropy, the giving back, really took place. Because in high school, I wasn't quite sure how much I can do, plus I was still trying to get there. In college, I felt that, you know, even though I haven't reached all my goals, I know I've made it a lot further than what a lot of people from where I'm come from are used to making it. So I wanted to kind of serve as a model and as a mentor. So I took on different leadership roles when I got into college, from being president of the Black City Union to homecoming director, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Well, I guess what I was going to say, I mean, I went to the same college as you. So, you know, to us, you know, your peers, you pretty much had it going on. I mean, you were student body president. You know, you served on the homecoming court. You were on the trustee for the foundation board. So you had a lot going on there. But let's talk a little bit about life, I guess, after college. Did you wish that, you know, the school would have taught you that they didn't teach you? That would have given you a leg up or kind of shortened up the learning curve for you going into the real world.
Well, you know, something that I got to say, there are a couple of things, and I kind of learned it, but not technically in a classroom setting, but a few nuggets, if I may, that I encourage a lot of our youth, and inside my book I really focus on, is what they call soft skills. You know, there's more than just having the GPA. You know, I saw a book title once that said, you know, getting straight A's don't necessarily get you the job. And for me myself, it was understanding how you had to be willing to go that extra mile, to be persistent. You know, some of those qualities that I think a lot of the young professionals, after you've been in the industry for a few years, you pick up on, you know, like me. I mean, I don't think I've ever looked at any intern GPA that came to me, you know, for a job, but I wanted to find out what were the things they do. Can they, you know, can they prove what they say they do? Because, you know, everyone's going to tell you that, oh, I'm a great, you know, I'm a great employee, I'm hardworking. You know, that's like telling me that, you know, you can bake a good cake. You know, don't tell me you can bake a good cake. Give me a slice. You know, show me what you've done already. You know, show me some internship. Let me see how you've been able to help other people. You know, so those were the thing. I would say some of the soft skills and telling people about the importance of being persistent, going the extra mile. That would probably be one of the things that I don't think may have been focused that much on. And then also, if I had to say the single greatest disappointment, I don't see that's focused on that much in the school system, you know, whether it's grade school or even on a collegiate level, is there's not much discussion about passive income, residual income, you know, or wealth creation. You know, we all taught skills on how to go out there and get and obtain and try and keep a good job. But, you know, I wish there would have been a little bit more that was talking about wealth creation. I know they talk about entrepreneurship, and I took a class or two in entrepreneurship, but, you know, I think that one of the greatest things that a lot of our youth could pick up on is that learning about residual income and passive income at a very early age.
It's funny because, you know, a couple of friends of mine kind of gathered over this Christmas holiday, and I'm sure you may be probably familiar with the Robert Kiyosaki board game, Cash Flow.
Absolutely.
Which that's what it's focused on. So, you know, maybe we, you know, us, you know, as the young professionals need to kind of reach back to the kids and educate them on that because, you know, it's probably surely not going to get that in school.
Yeah, well, true indeed. And, you know, I don't want to sound critical of our education system, but I guess what they're teaching you is they're teaching you skill set on how to be productive in society. But I guess if you want to reach a certain level.
You don't have to be critical about it, but I will.
Well, I guess it's incumbent upon yourself to go out there and get certain other type of information. Well, here's the thing. It boils down to this, and for any of the youth that may listen, you know, I always tell people there are two types of education out there, one that is given to you and one that you give yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because you can't teach yourself things that you don't want to use, and you can't try and have someone else teach you something that you think that is so valuable to you. You have to kind of be as motivated to kind of go and acquire those things. So in a recent interview that you did with Social Esquire, you know I do my homework. you mentioned you knew you wanted to be in the sports entertainment industry. Outside of school organizations, how did you channel that desire into reality?
That's interesting. Well, you know, I actually wrote a book all about that, where my book just gave a brief background about myself, and then it tells everyone the obstacles, the rites of passage process, so to speak, that I had to go through to, one, get recognized by the Miami Heat, two, get a non-paid internship, and three, make sure people know who I was and that they can see that I was an asset to their organization. So I talked about, and the things that I just mentioned earlier today, those were very important in me realizing my dream, because, you know, I got a non-paid internship at the Miami Heat, and it's an interesting story. I'm not sure if you wanted me to go into the full story for everyone, but all right, well, here's the thing, once again. Going into high school, let me even backtrack. Let me give people a little brief background about, you know, me becoming a marketing major. Yes, I got a double degree in marketing and management, and here's how I actually got involved with marketing initially. You know, I had my first business in high school. It was called Ghetto Goodies. I was selling candy and tater chips. You know it, bro. I was selling candy and tater chips out of my backpack, killing the competition. You know, I was sold at my third pier every day. Operation was so smooth. I was like the baby chocolate Willy Wonka out there. And then one day, my English teacher, who also happened to be the yearbook teacher, she pulled me aside. And she said, you know, you need to be in my yearbook class next year. I like your marketing skills. And I'm like, you like my what? And she's like, marketing. What you doing is called marketing. I was like, well, where I'm from, we call that hustling. She said, nah, baby, you do marketing, you'll go a lot further. So that's how I became a marketing major, not fully understanding what it was, but I went to college initially to set out to study marketing. Now, when I went to FAU, as you can attest, you know, it took me a little longer to graduate than most students. Didn't do it in 4 years. It took me almost 7 years just to get a double degree in marketing and management, because I had to work full time, and at times working two jobs just to be able to pay for school out of my own pocket. But the greatest thing that I did is I didn't quit. However, the time that I was there, I used my time extremely wisely. So I got involved pretty early, which helped me with understanding and learning what my passions are. So first entering college, I got involved with what's called the Programming Board, which was the primary event planning organization on campus. This was the organization that coordinated the step shows, the concerts, the free food events for all the students. So I kind of got involved with that and fell in love with event production. Then later on became the homecoming marketing director, then the homecoming director, and elected student body vice president, and last year student body president and trustee of Florida Atlantic University, which was, you know, the managing director of a $5.8 million budget, official spokesperson to 26,000 students, only the fifth African-American student in the history of the university to hold that title. So I can't front. By the time my senior year came around, I felt like I had a little swag.
You were right. Yeah, you had your little bounce in your step, right?
I had a little bounce. I felt like, you know, I'm cream of the crop, but it's almost comical how that almost didn't mean a doggone thing when I reached out to the Miami Heat. Or at least that's what I thought. So let me break it down. You know, with being involved with event production and also with our university athletic department, I found that I kind of had a love for event production as well as sports. And I wanted to know, how did I marry the both of them? And I thought, okay, I need to probably consider trying to get down with a sports team, especially being in South Florida, why not the Miami Heat? And it was interesting, a friend of mine that you and I both know went to Florida State. We had a conversation one day on the phone, and he's like, bro, you would not believe who I just got off the phone with. And he told me that he had just got off the phone with Drew Rosenhaus. He was like, oh, man, this guy's a straight jerk. And I'm like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He said, you know, I got on the phone with him, and I was like, yo, you know what? Listen, my dream, my passion is to be a sports agent just like you. I was wondering if you can give me any advice on what I need to do to get there. And he said, Drew Rosenhaus told him, read my book. And they hung up the phone. Click. And he was like, yo, man, this guy's a
Drew Rosenhaus.
But here's the thing. He's like, yo, man, he says, you know, something. I pulled it up online, a book called A Shark in the Sleep, and I ain't reading that jerk's book. Unfortunately, you know, but the interesting thing was, when he told me the name of the book, I jumped online, ordered it online through Hab.com, great source of this kind of books. I'm sorry, shameless plug, but hey, I'm a fan of the product, so moving right along. So I bought the book online, and then reading the book, you know, the first few chapters of the book, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, you know, everyone knows, you know, I hate him, I love him, but, you know, reading his story is very interesting. You know, he was like, hey, I had the book knowledge as a student at the University of Miami. Now I needed to get the practical knowledge. How do I break into the industry? And he talked about how he called this sports agent almost a dozen times before he got an opportunity. I got invited to come to the office. And then when he came to the office, in short, what he did is he walked up to the gentleman and he said, listen, I want to be in this industry so bad that I will work for free. Whatever I lack in experience, I will make up 10 times over in hunger, heart, and enthusiasm. So, you know me, I read that. I was kind of like, wow, I'm kind of impressed. So I went ahead and did my research on who the director of event services was for the Miami Heat, type up a letter in short saying, you know, my goal, dream, passion is to be, you know, work in the sports industry, willing to work for free, willing to do whatever it takes, all I need is a break. And I attached what I thought was, you know, my impressive resume or what I thought, you know, and I FedExed that down to the Miami Heat. And I'm going to give, you know, some of you high school and college students who are trying to get noticed, I'm going to give you a little, hip, you know, a little marketing tip. You know, if you get two packages in the mail, one is a regular letter, and the other one is a FedEx. Which one do you think you're going to open first?
First.
You open the FedEx all day. So that was my justification for paying like $5 or $6 to mail a package when like 50 cents probably could accomplish the same goal. So I sent that down there, got the confirmation that it got it, called like 3 times, got them on my 3rd call. It's like, hey, you know, Mr. Diamond, I'm contacting you. See, you got my package. That's my goal and dream is to, you know, work in sports. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, we don't have any volunteer opportunity, but we do have a non-paid internship.
Oh, so you jumped on that.
I jumped on that. Well, you know, absolutely. You got to seize the opportunity, bro. You know, so the opportunity came up. I jumped in, you know, my car and drove, you know. And this is basically from our university, from FAU in Boca Raton to downtown Miami. It's about 50 miles one way. So I drove all the way down there and, you know, what some of the youth may know as a hoopty. You know, just praying that my car didn't break down on me. But, hey, I was a man on a mission. I was a brother on a mission. Made it down there to the arena. Went for the interview. You know, when the interviewer came to got me, we started walking back to his office. You know, he turned and he said something to me. And this right here was key. He was like, you know what? You're doing pretty good. You know, when I wanted to get an internship here, you know, I had to call someone 15 times before they even returned my call. You know, me, I'm thinking to myself, that's you, dog, not me. So, you know, that's where I'm at. So, long story short, we went for the interview. I didn't waste any time letting them know how hungry, how energetic I was about proving myself all I need is a break. How, you know, I felt like Jay-Z, you know, after me, there should be no more. You know,
right.
He's like, all right.
You did your thing. You absolutely did your thing. I know everyone wants to know, though, working in Miami with the Heat, is this still Wade County or is this LeBron City?
Man, it's still the Miami Heat town. That's basically what it is. Because, I got to get a politically correct answer. Listen, I got love for all them boys. The fans, you know, it's something Eric Spoelstra said the other day on the interview. It's like, you know what? You know, we leave that up to the fans. If they get enjoy and excitement about talking about that, you know, do you. But for us, we're all focused on what it takes to win and as collective team effort. Like, you know, I won a championship ring on the 2006 team. And on the 2006 team, if you look on the ring, there's something on it that says 15 strong. And it's all
right,
together.
Right.
about the importance of you needing a complete team effort. So even though you may not think about the guys, you know, quote-unquote role players or the gentlemen who don't get in, the ones that aren't starters, but you need those guys on the team because who do you think are the ones that are pushing the starters during practices to making sure that they continue to get better? You know, who are the ones when the starters have to come out for even just a brief break?
I don't mean to cut you off, but we're about to run out of time. So let's give a quick plug how you can get your book.
Well, quick plug. You can actually go to Amazon.com, type in Jewels of the Game, how to get a job in sports, or you can go to AP3Consulting.com, where I also have the book available there.
Okay. I think we're all fine, but thank you for participating, being a guest on the premiere show. As always, Pratt, I love you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being a positive role model out there, and speak soon.
All right. Thanks again for having me. Y'all have a great day and stay blessed, people.
All right. Likewise.